Today on Real Radio.
Someone early on in my life tried to bring the gospel to me. I wouldn't even let them get to their introductory statements or lines. I would cut them off and walk away. I had not heard the gospel until later on in my life. But when the gospel comes, what do you do with it? What do we do when we hear the Bible, the news of the Bible? What does it mean to us?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament book of Acts. We'll hear a presentation that takes a look at the last six verses of chapter 24. The Apostle Paul was finally brought before Felix, the procurator of Judea, for supposedly disturbing the peace. And the Apostle, as the record indicates, defended himself. Well, Felix had some knowledge about the risen Messiah at this point. So how did he handle things? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called Compromise, Man's Easy Fix.
And so often the time we'll be pressured into a point or into a condition where we'll be tempted to compromise. The pressure will be on us. Oh man, what do I do? You do what's right. Yeah, but it's not popular. Hey, you do what's right. I'd rather be unpopular down here than unpopular up there. I'd rather have God's approval now while I'm walking this earth than to have his disapproval later on when I stand before him and when you stand before him. But we come this morning to a message that is very direct. And if you're visiting for the first time, I want you to realize that just by nature of the message, it's going to be rather hot. It may get hot in here, depending upon where you are with the Lord. But I want you to listen carefully. And I want to say this up front right now, that you need to hear the message all the way through to the end. And I'm speaking to you right now by faith, because as I told you about my ears being plugged up, I just hear this incredible noise in my head. And in worship, both this morning and in yesterday's service, to me, the worship sounds off. It doesn't sound right to me unless I grab my nose with my fingers and pinch and then put pressure on my ears, and the pressure blows out my eardrums, and then I hear great for a moment until I let go, and then all the congestion comes back in and I can't hear the worship correctly. I can't hear the guitar right. I can't hear the drums right. It sounds off to me. Well, Paul is going to be giving Felix a message today. And depending upon how his heart is and how your heart is, it really determines on how you interpret the sounds that are coming out of Paul's mouth. Will you view this message this morning like fire and brimstone? Or will you view it as, wow, God must really love me to tell me such things? And I want to assure you that's the case. If I get excited this morning, it's because I love you and I love the Lord and I want you to have all that God has for you to have. And those of us who have kids, if you notice, it's kind of a twisted thing we say to our kids. But when we tell them, because we love them, don't go play in the street, you stay out of the street. And they kind of maybe tamper around with that, get near the curb. What do we tell them? If you go out in the street and get hit by a car, I'm going to spank you. Well, what are we trying to do? We're trying to deter them from getting hurt. Now, if they get hit by a car, are we going to pick them up and dust off the tire tracks and give them a spanking? No, our hearts are going to break. We're going to find out what's wrong with them and get them help. God does that to us. We're going to hear verses this morning where Jesus says, you need to walk with me. If you don't, then you're going to fall into the pit, literally. And how do you hear that? Oh, bad God, bad Jesus, bad God. No, God is warning us that there's a judgment that's coming. He doesn't want any of us to be hurt. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all people should come to everlasting life. Isn't that a good deal? Isn't that a great heart of a great loving God? So don't this morning leave this place saying that God is mean, that Christianity is wrong. No, Christianity delivers a message to us that God is saying, I love you, will you come to me? This earth is going off the cliff, will you come to me? And Paul's going to do this in the life of Felix, but listen, Felix is going to compromise, you guys. He's going to take man's easy way out. And he has nothing really tangible to live for. Albert Einstein says that a man who regards his own life and the life of his fellow friends as a meaningless and nothing thing is not merely unhappy in all of life, but is hardly fit for life. I like that. St. Augustine said, Thou God hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee. Vance Havner, great old preacher, died now with the Lord, taught Billy Graham how to preach. Vance Havner says, you will never have any rest in God until you learn how to nest in God. Isn't that neat? I like that. Felix is going to be running from God. But what you and I need to do is turn around and run toward God and jump inside of his robe and be covered in his righteousness. That's what Paul's motive is here in Acts chapter 24, beginning this morning at verse 22. Acts 24, 22. But when Felix heard these things, having a more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case, Paul. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of those of his friends or to provide for him or to visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, Go away for now, and I will call for you for a convenient time. Verse 26, meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given to him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Procrius Festus succeeded Felix. And Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. That is, left Paul bound in prison. Compromise is the problem here. Not facing up with the truth that we're confronted with. And I've got to tell you, when someone early on in my life tried to bring the gospel to me, I wouldn't even let them get to their introductory statements or lines. I would cut them off and walk away. I had not heard the gospel until later on in my life. But when the gospel comes, what do you do with it? What do we do when we hear the Bible, the news of the Bible? What does it mean to us? Well, listen, when we hear a clear presentation of the Bible, that Jesus Christ, listen carefully, here it is. If you're going to fall asleep after this part right here. The Bible says that Jesus came, God, born in human flesh, that he died on the cross for all of our sins, that he himself was perfect. He was God. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, the resurrection. He ascended into heaven. The Bible from cover to cover speaks about him before he ever came as a human. And it speaks about his second coming, when he'll come again. That he's in heaven tonight or today, and that he's very much alive. In fact, he'll live forever. But right now in heaven, there's a man seated at the right hand of the Father. His name is Christ Jesus. When the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, became a man, he became a man forever. And when he lived this life and when he suffered on the cross, he felt all the pain and all the suffering that you and I have gone through, going through, shall go through. He's God. The Bible says he knows all. And the Bible says that there's no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Now, hear this out. This sounds hard, but it's our choice. I believe in freedom of religion. And I like what one scholar says. He says, I believe in freedom of religion. But if you listen to the words of Jesus, who Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him, you've got to come to this conclusion. To truly exercise freedom of religion, you've got to let each man decide what road that he'll take to hell that he chooses. And you go, what? And he says, that's true. No matter what our present-day school system's teaching us, our choices carry with it a sense of being accountable for what we decide. There are absolutes. And this guy said, you know, a man can pick any path he wants to hell, but there's only one way to heaven, and God says it's through Jesus. Isn't that something? And that may rub you the wrong way, and already this morning, we haven't even gotten into this message. You're getting bummed already. Man, I don't like that. It is an absolute, and I didn't write the book. But don't take it wrong. What tone do you hear this in? You see, in John's gospel, Jesus was there praying. And his hour was coming, and Jesus prays, and he says, Father, what do I pray? Remove me from this hour of great trial. He says, but for this hour I was born. For this hour I came into the world to go to the cross. And then the Father speaks to him out of heaven. And there are people standing around. Now catch this, because you're here in this room right now. You and I would have fit into this crowd. Jesus prays that prayer, and it says that a voice came from heaven and says, I've not only glorified my name, I'm going to glorify it still, speaking to his son. And the people gathered around says, oh my gosh, thunder. They said, thunder. Lightning, storm, dark clouds, thunder. But the other people in the group said, an angel has spoken. God spoke. Half the group said, an angel has spoken. Half the group said, it's thundering. You see, it all depends on the tone and the pitch of how you hear. How do you hear when God says to you, you come to me and I'll save you? To reject me means to be lost forever. How do you take that? How do you receive that? Do you gird up your heart and say, I don't like that absolute. I don't like that narrow-mindedness. Listen, you and I can't afford that. There's somebody greater than ourselves. He came and he lived and he died. And he says, this is the truth. And we can just blow bubbles at him and reject him, or we can listen to what he says and receive him. It's not joining Calvary Chapel, people. We're not asking you to join Calvary Chapel. You can't join Calvary Chapel. We're not asking you to come back next week. That doesn't matter. Have you received Christ? In your notes, jot down this morning, verses 22 to 23. The first point is, Felix is coming to the truth about Christ. He's going to come to the truth about Christ, verses 22 to 23. It says in verse 22, when Felix heard these things, having a more accurate knowledge or better understanding about Christianity, that is the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision regarding your case. He's talking about Paul, and he's saying he listens to the true Christian gospel. And he's hearing it, he's going, no, oh wow, okay, great. Hey, okay. Hey, I understand it better now. Thank you for informing me about the Christian way, Christianity. Thanks a lot. And he turns and he says, I tell you what, I'm going to put this case on hold until the commander that arrested you, Paul, comes up, and he can state the case more accurately as well. So he puts it off a little bit. Was it intentional? Well, we'll see in a moment. He hears about Christianity. At this point in time, he's really not faced with making a decision. Neither are you. But Paul is there. He's in prison. He's being held because people have lied about him. Bad PR. They've laid on him. They've twisted his words. They've come against him because of jealousy. And verse 23 says, so he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty. He's under like a house arrest. And he told him, don't forbid any of his friends to come and visit him or to take care of him, okay? He's under arrest, but just make it easy for him. But the point that I want to make between verses 22 and 23 is that Felix is becoming to understand now what Christianity is. He's heard. Every time Paul gets an opportunity to share the news, he tells people about the resurrection of Christ. There's no doubt in my mind that in verses 22 and 23, it's been given to Felix. He knows the truth. Well, we'll call for Lysias, and he'll come up, and we'll talk more about that. He's coming to the knowledge of the truth. When people share with you, you're more responsible now. When people share with me, I'm more responsible now. Listen to this. The Bible tells us about Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh and Moses? And the Bible says that Pharaoh, listen, Pharaoh, 10 times, it says, hardened his heart against Moses' message. 10 times. Well, Jack, I thought the Bible says that God hardened his heart. It does. Guess how many times? 10 times. 10 times it says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. 10 times it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. What does that mean to us? What does it mean to Felix? What does it mean to you and I? The position that you and I are in concerning spiritual things. If you have already chosen Christ and you're walking with the Lord and you know the Lord, then this message may not apply so clearly to you. But if you have not yet made a decision for Jesus, listen to this. When you walk out of this building today, the fact is it will be harder for you to come to know Christ after you walk out today than when you first walked in. You are going to be experiencing a supernatural event, though you may not even believe in it. Every time Pharaoh said, "No, Moses, I'm not going to let the people go. Even though I said I would, I'm not going to let them go now." Moses would walk away, talk to God. God would say, "Go back and tell him again." Moses would go back and tell him, and Pharaoh would say, "No way." And every time he said no, his heart got harder and colder and more callous until he couldn't change his mind. Listen to this. Maybe, and pick whatever sin it might be in life, but one that's very pronounced and profound is maybe the first sexual encounter somebody has. Maybe you're young or a teen or whatever, and something comes down in the physical realm and you feel terrible. You feel filthy and your soul, it's like you can't take enough detergent and soap in you when you go to the shower. You can't take enough baths or showers. You feel like you've defiled yourself. And then the next time the opportunity is there, you're saying, "No, man, I don't want to do that. I felt bad. I don't want that to happen." And it happens again. Now it's happened twice. And then the third time, it happens again. And you don't like it, and it's not right, and you don't feel any more comfortable with it, but it happens. And then the fourth time, it's like, "Well, you know what? We really shouldn't be doing this." And then the fifth time, it's like, "Well, you know what? I don't know." And then and then you're out to the ninth time. And it's like, "Or can you come over tonight?" And then the tenth time is, "When can we be together again?" You know how that progression starts? The heart is saying, "Let's not do this. This is wrong." No, but as you continue in it more and more, the calloused heart is covered more and more with dead conscience, dead feelings, dead awareness. Every one of us in this room understands what I'm saying. And God is the same way. He's saying, "I love you. Don't violate yourself. Don't reject me anymore. You come to me." And then we say, "No, not now. No, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to call for this guy. I'll wait." And every time that happens, people, our hearts get a little hardened towards the message of Jesus Christ, until the Bible says there comes a point in time when people sit in services and they roll their eyes and they go, "Oh, brother, that's a joke. When do we get out of here?" The Bible says that that heart is already hardened. And the Bible says when a heart is often reproved and hardened, God can take you away and it's without remedy. And how do you hear that tone this morning? Do you hear that from a guy who wants to pound you? Or do you hear that from somebody who honestly believes in the Bible, loves Jesus Christ, and cares enough to tell you, "Though I may not even know who you are"? And our tendency is to push it off. Verses 24 and 25, we see the second point, and that's being confronted with the truth of Jesus. How do I tell you this without making you upset? The gospel of Jesus Christ is confrontational. That's why the people outside these walls are against you and against this message. We'll tolerate, like we mentioned last week, we'll tolerate anything except Christianity, true Christianity. We'll tolerate anything, but just don't let us have the truth. I don't want to hear it. Why are we so misrepresented in the media? Because the tone that people are hearing from us is that we hate them or we don't like them. Why? We tell them that they need Jesus. "Why don't you mind your own business, Jack? Stay out of my life. you know what? If you want me to stay out of your life, I'll stay out of your life. Just say, don't say that. Don't knock on my door. Don't tell me when we get together at Thanksgiving or Christmas about Jesus anymore. Then what I would say, and I've said this to people who have said that to me, I said, tell you what, can I say one thing and then I'll be done with you? I'll never bring it up again. And what do you think I'm going to do at that moment? You just stand right there. In fact, can you move a little bit to the left? A little bit, right there. Stand right, still, right there. No. I'm not going to blow them away. But that's what they're thinking. You look at them right in the eyes and you tell them, you know what? Jesus is real. I'll never tell you again. He died for you. He loves you. If you die in your state right now, the Bible says there's a hell and it's real. And Jesus hung on the cross between heaven and hell to keep us out of there. I'll never talk to you again about it, but will you decide for Christ? If you don't do it now when you're in trouble, if you ever have that luxury, will you call out to Him? And I promise I'll never speak to you again about it. And listen, if that's happening in your life, you tell them and then never speak to them again about it, but you convert your time in prayer for them because you love them. Isn't it radical what He's done to our heart? It's almost like it's not fair. Jesus gives us love for strangers. Jesus gives us love for people we don't even know on an eternal realm. And they're thinking about, is this tie nice? How's this dress look? And you're going, it's fine. The tie is fine. Why are we? We're looking past into their lives and we're saying, oh man, you need Jesus. But just leave me alone with that stuff, will you? You're bugging me. That's what they said about Paul last week. He's a pest. All because he cared. All because he loved. Compromise will destroy us. Verse 24, it says that after some days, okay, well, some days have passed. He hasn't made a decision about Christ. We know that. When Felix came with his wife, Cruella. Don't you want to say Cruella when you see that? Do you? Is it just me? I don't know. I want to say Cruella de Vil. Remember her in 101 Dalmatians? That's it. Is she great or what? She just makes your skin crawl. Felix and Cruella. What a. It's Drusilla, 19 years old. He stole her from another man. Historians tell us that she was what we would call today a centerfold. She was a toy. Felix was a ruthless slime. He was a mean man. He murdered people out of whim. He was bisexual. He was a mess. The Jews couldn't stand him. Josephus writes about his life. And he was known to kill somebody at the drop of a hat.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Compromise, Man's Easy Fix. It's a look at the last six verses of Acts chapter 24, where Felix responds to Paul's defense. We'll resume on Monday's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us once again. Listen, if you weren't able to make it to the recent Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, or even if you did, you can now obtain CDs and DVDs of the event. You can pick your favorite speaker or buy the entire video or audio set. Visit us at realradioactive.org, and it's all self-explanatory, realradioactive.org, or call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to write to us, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.